It's Sunday Sport on 3AW, and it's time to have a chat to the head of football at the Blues, Andrew McKay, joins us. Andrew, thanks for your time.
Pleasure. Afternoon, gents.
Well, let's start with Mark Murphy. Do we know more this morning?
We don't know a whole lot more. The boys flew back from Tassie mid-morning, just got in very recently. But he certainly had a plantar fascia issue just before the game in the warm-up, which is disappointing to lose him at that early stage or that late stage in the warm-up. But we're confident that he won't be out for any length of time. It might be a week or so, but we just need to get that scan. We'll get that scan tomorrow so we can actually get a really good prognosis around that.
Andy, we've had probably the first hour of the show with Carlton supporters a bit disgruntled about the position of the club at the moment. But I just want to ask you, when Brendan Bolton just said, our defensive structures were very ordinary. Now, over the last 2 years, he really worked hard on that area and said this year we want to score more. Is the opportunity or trying to score causing this defensive part of the game or those structures that were so good breaking down now? Is that where it's coming from, or is it about individuals?
It may have a very slight impact, Tony. I think we've got to remember that, obviously Murph got injured late, didn't play. You know, we've got the likes of Marchbank that was injured, Doherty, Kieran Byrne, Tommy Williamson, those guys that have played regular footy in our back line for us. Mm-hmm. And hold structure and probably a little bit more experience than the guys that some of the guys that we played last night. And I think the stats show that we had 10 players that were in that 18 to 21 bracket. So a fair bit of any experience there. And when you lose your captain early and lose a few others, and Yacht Groh and Sylvain, those guys that are sitting on the sidelines that are good experienced backliners, and it does make a difference. Especially when you've got an opposition that are on the rampage trying to close the floodgates, so to speak, with the inexperienced players, it makes it all the more difficult.
Well, you could probably use that as an excuse, as in, one game in a way that it was so poor, but over the 4 weeks you've had some issues. You've been solid in one of the games, I thought. But, all right, go to, say, Jason Wietering, he just doesn't look like anywhere near the player that he was. Now, I know the personnel around him would help him, but to me, he looks like he's just shell-shocked and the confidence is that low that he doesn't want to attack the ball. How do you get around something like that for one of your highest draft picks?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if shell-shock's the right word, Tony. I think Jacob is...
Well, hesitant, all right, very hesitant.
Yeah, I think Jacob is the first one to say he's not playing as good a footy as he'd like. Mm. Obviously got that cork early in the game on the week last night, but certainly hasn't been in tremendous form. We need to get a little bit of perspective on it, though. He's a third-year player, a big type of player, one of our posts for us. So these players do take some time. He certainly had a really solid year his first year, not quite as predominant in his second year, and obviously hasn't started the way he would like this year, but... Now, you look at some, the really, really good players in the past, even Rance, for example, took him 4 or 5 years to cement himself in the team as a key defender in that Richmond team. So, we're really confident that Jacob will continue to grow and grow into a very good player.
Andrew McKay has joined us, the boss of footy at the Blues. You used the word perspective before, Andrew, and I know after a loss like last night, supporters can be very emotional and... even us in the media can be very emotional with our review of the game. Where do you think you guys are at internally at the moment?
Well, it's been said a lot that we wanted to... we stripped it right back and had a real reset of the footy club. And we did that 2 years and 4 games ago. And we went to 3 drafts and we said we were going to go to 3 drafts and get the best young kids in the country. And we've done that. And when you do a proper reset, I think Chris Fagan might have mentioned it in the presser yesterday, it does take some time to build up when you actually strip the club back and do a proper reset and a rebuild. Now, how long that's going to take, I'm not sure, but if you look at the history books, it certainly does take some time. And when you go into the draft and get an enormous number of kids through the draft over the last 3 years, you're going to have some speed bumps. You're going to hit some speed bumps, but we've got to actually... stick to the plan that we set in place, and I reach out to the supporters and say, stick with us because we are we are sticking to our plan, and we have to keep sticking to this plan because we believe this plan will actually give us the best chance to have sustained success. You know, we could have gone the other way and tried a quick fix to get a little bit of success, but often when that happens, you fall off the cliff pretty soon after. So we are doing it properly. We think we believe we're doing it properly, and the reason we're doing it properly is so we can actually have some sustained success in the future, whenever that may come.
Andrew, it's Mark Robinson here. Everything you say is right. Everything. We had to strip it back. We had to bear it. We had to strip the list and go to the draft. The problem is when you go to the draft with picks, you've got to pick the right players. And people are probably looking at Carlton right now and questioning whether you pick the right players. And then when you go to the draft, you have to go and pick players who are going to be stock players for you for a couple of years because you can't play kids all the time. Now, I find myself and other Carlton fans have find themselves questioning the likes of you know, Cameron O'Shea and Jed Lamb got dropped in the weekend and Lang's injured. Will he get in and get a go? There's a lot of second-hand players there where people are also questioning, and that's sort of the predicament you're in at the moment.
I'm not sure you're right on the money there, Robbo, to be honest. I think certainly Darcy Lang's probably in a different boat to Cam O'Shea, for example. You know, Cam had a really good year in our VFL team, and he's going to add some depth for us, whereas Darcy, we're looking for Darcy to add some
skill.
Real grunting around the midfield. So probably two different things there. But you look at the likes of, you talk about, can't remember what your terminology was, but certainly club players have come from different clubs. You know, we've got Marchbank and Plowman in the back line that are going to be 200-game players for us. Kennedy that we got this year, for example, he's going to play an awful lot of footy for us and help Cripp out enormously. And I believe we've actually drafted really well, the young kids. But you need to understand that it's a tough environment. I'm not trying to make excuses here at all. And North were a good team. But you need to understand it's tough for an under-18 footballer to step up and play bloody good football at our level in the first year or two of after he's been drafted. Sure, some standouts do, but unfortunately we can't have the top 10 picks all in one draft. So we think we've done a pretty good job in the draft the last 3 years. It's just going to take some time to develop these players and develop them how we need to get some results on the board.
Right, and you've got a mix. I just want to go through some of your experienced players. Kerno Cripps, he's only a kid, but he plays with experience. Wright, Mullet, Thompson, Simpson. You've got Cruiser. You've got Levi Casbolt's been there for, 8-9 years. Cameron O'Shea, Liam Jones. You've got say, 11-12 players with multiple year experience. But when you put in a performance like you did last night, and it seemed from afar lacking leadership, and it's a general comment lacking leadership, but actually standing up and saying, no, we're not going to allow this to continue to happen in this game, which comes from the coach's box and it comes from on the ground. That didn't happen, Andy. And when you look at this, you go, goodness gracious, we could have stopped the bleeding several ways last night, and it didn't happen.
You know, you're right in the fact that it didn't happen, Robbo. And I'll revert back to what I started with. You know, you've got some of those experienced players, you've got 10 or so of those experienced players, but you've also got 10 that have, 18 to 21-year-olds that have played, something like somewhere between 2 and 20 games between them. So it's a fine balance, and I think that's probably what you're alluding to, on how many inexperienced players you can have in a team before it tips over. And so it makes it all the more difficult for those experienced players to resurrect the game, so to speak.
Andrew, as we let you go, Matty Cruiser, you put him on ice late in the game with soreness. Is he available for next week at this stage?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he'll be available. So, obviously the game was well and truly lost by then. He's just, he got a bit of a knock the week before, so we're just mindful of that.
Andrew, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, gentlemen.